is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not so bad with the shaking of the tuchus.
Now, from the new normal studios in Burbank.
I'm ready for sex.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the new normal studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us at our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me. And another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, joined in this hour by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom.
What's going on?
So, a little anthropology tonight, Tom.
Nice.
Now, this is important, okay? You know, a woman gives birth, and she knows that the baby is hers, right?
She always knows.
That's right. And there's actually studies that show that even, you know, in even further ancient history and pre-modern and everything, something like 80 to 90% of women reproduced. And biologically, that's the most important thing for you to do, to make your genes go to the next generation. And something like less than 20% of men reproduced. There were alpha males, right? You had King David, and he had 1,000 wives, right? So he had lots of descendants. You had Genghis Khan, who had thousands of concubines. He had lots of descendants. But your average working stiff or serf or someone who wasn't of the gentry or the royalty or whatever, he ended up not getting laid at all. And one of the ideas of monogamy where, you know, you can only have one wife was to make the system a little more equitable. And at one time, women, you know, in this culture, let's say in the 1950s, were pretty happy being middle class. But now every woman wants a billionaire, and there aren't enough to go around.
Right.
There ain't but, what, 500 in the whole world?
Yes.
Most of them are over 70. You got to take a look at the Forbes magazine, you know. They always talk about Zuckerberg, but he's a little unusual in that respect.
Yes.
And I believe he married one of his classmates quite a long time ago. But, you know, it's very interesting how things have changed. You know, you talk about the crisis in masculinity, and I think there's no doubt about it. And a lot of what you've geared towards, you know, in your Likas 101 talked about dating and the way men act with women and, you know, trying to impress a woman with a limousine or buying her expensive meals and how useless all that is. But, you know, at one time, there are incidents that I learned about in law school where in the South, a black guy looked at a white woman or whistled at a white woman or was accused of whistling at a white woman. And, you know, all the boys from the neighborhood got together and killed him, lynched him or whatever. And that's not a joke. That was happening all the time. And, you know, classically, if you look at some of the cultures, certainly South America, some of the Arab cultures, Muslim cultures, Pakistan, let's say, a woman is accused of infidelity, they'll pour acid on her face or they'll cut her. That's
right.
Something unbelievable. I remember there was a movie where the woman cheated in Mexico and the husband took a knife and, you know, basically gave her a big scar on her face, which she would have for the rest of her life, thus marking her as an unfaithful woman. And it's really fascinating what's happened. You know, there's a great line which is the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he didn't exist. And one of the great tricks that women have played, certainly in our society but throughout history, I think, is that men are the cheaters. And there's always these shows and, you know, these talk shows that we watch on TV and films and books where this woman is, you know, having the drudgery of the house and the children, and the husband is this runaround, and he's a, how many phrases? What, a skirt chaser, and he's, you know, he's, you know, cheating on her, and she's so humiliated, and it's so horrible. But, you know, it turns out that women are unbelievable cheats as well. And I think guys actually feel a lot more guilty about it. Most of the guys that I know that fool around on their wives or whatever, their girlfriends, tend to be very guilt-ridden about it. They like ashamed of themselves. They eventually confess to the wife. It's amazing. But what you see with women is women are cold as ice. And, you know, they have convinced the world that men are the cheaters and not them. But what's really fascinating is that women are most likely to cheat. This is a fact, scientific studies. A woman is most likely to cheat when she ovulates. And as her ovulation comes closer, which is the release of the egg, she's going to go get a new partner to get herself pregnant. And studies show worldwide that something like 20% of men are raising a child that they think is theirs biologically, and the woman has tricked them. That's actually not their child. And when you say 20% worldwide, I mean, you're counting Saudi Arabia, you're counting everything, you know?
And that's the people we know about.
That's right.
I think there's a lot, you know, as you know, I'm a daily viewer of Maury, and I happen to believe
well,
there's a lot
the
of guys who don't want to know.
It's better not to know.
And so they don't look into it. And
but
so
don't
we don't
forget.
How can you have numbers for people who haven't gotten a DNA test?
Well, for sure, but at one time, you know, science actually screwed women because at one time there was no DNA test. There was some kind of blood matching that wasn't very accurate, and that was, you know, something that didn't develop until like the 50s or the 60s anyway. But when you talk about very highly accurate scientific matching, that's only the past couple of years, you know, DNA testing, that's become even reasonably affordable, a few hundred dollars. And your argument that that should be every live birth is undoubtedly correct. The thing is that as it exists, it's really screwed women because now, you know, a woman's, you know, saying like on Maury, I'm 1,000,000,000% sure that he's the father, and we can prove that it's not true. At one time, societies were completely designed and still exist today around women cheating and preventing it. That's why the Saudis or the other Arabs have women in veils. They limit a woman's ability to move, to be out in the world, to drive a car. Because their thinking is actually quite accurate, crazy as it is, as medieval as it is. They understand when they look at Western women and that they're fucking their brains out, and they say, we can't have that. I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to raise boys that I find out aren't mine. That's ridiculous. And if you leave a woman to it, she will fool around. See, that's one of the things. When you talk about the kind of things that we learn in our culture, when I was a kid, you know, girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. I mean, you know, that is so drummed into us. And the woman sits there and goes, oh, I'm just a little girl. I have my little pigtails. And meanwhile, she's plotting the end of the world right there. Now, there's a kind of video that's becoming popular. These are absolutely unbelievable, Tom. They're called cuck videos. Not cock, cuck. C-U-C-K.
Yes.
And that stands for cuckold, okay? Now, apparently this has been around, you know, a long time, but these are especially popular now. And this is becoming some kind of a slang in regular parlance, cuck. So essentially, you have a suburban-looking couple in their house. And these are all filmed in the San Fernando Valley, you know, so these are like Encino or Tarzana, you know, your basic suburban house. And this couple, you know, is watching television, and in walks this big black dude, okay, and he grabs the wife, and he fucks the shit out of her over the couch, and the husband has to watch, okay? And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe it, and eventually he becomes transfixed. And then the wife, you know, she's not being raped. She's screaming in pleasure. The guy leaves, you know, the invader leaves. And then the husband, who's been cuckolded, which is, you know, to have had his wife cheat on him, has to, like, you know, lick her pussy clean, okay, from this, what this dude left in her or whatever, okay? And, you know, if you look at a lot of what's happened in Western society today, I think it's very, very reflective of that. You know, I said at one time, right, this guy whistles at a woman and they end up lynching him, right? And that's not even the boyfriends. That's just the guys from the neighborhood just protecting the women of the tribe, or in this case of the city, but whatever. You know, recently there's been a crisis in Europe, for example, of migrants coming in from Afghanistan and Syria and Africa. And in Cologne, Germany, recently, on New Year's Eve, there were riots where these guys were grabbing German women. And they were feeling them up, they were raping them, doing all kinds of crazy, horrible stuff. And what's amazing is that the men of Germany don't care. They don't react. They don't feel that automatic male protective sense of protecting women. And I saw a newscaster, this woman, and she's, you know, this butch feminist type, a German woman. And she says, where are the men? What happened to the heroes that we need? Right, right. And this is the thing where they say, you know, the girls say now, I want a real man. Where have all the cowboys gone? You know? So, you know, we have the whole generation of men now who were raised to be metrosexual. Their mothers told them to be sensitive. They had single mothers. They didn't have a father around, so they didn't have a good male role model. And then at the same time, they grow up to be these, you know, sensitive guys. And, you know, you said, I cannot begin to tell you, Tom, how many times they're doing these men on the street interviews. Did you ever watch Waters World or some of these kind of shows?
I've seen that they exist. I haven't really watched them.
Well, they come up to these average guys. They're in college or they're in, like, you know, Times Square, New York or whatever. Some of the busy intersections, and they stand there, and these guys have like rings in, you know, in their mouth and their lips and in their nose, and their hair is with like a purple streak, and he's like, oh yeah, I don't know, you know, it's like this is the modern guy. And I could see how women have said, you know, I want a man who shows his emotions, I want a man who can cry. And guys think that this is what girls want. This is what their mother told them. And so they're trying to live up to that, but it's something that absolutely positively turns women off. Now, where this all relates to family law is something absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And I got to tell you, Tom, I'm getting a few calls like this every single day. I've got guys who are calling me now. And by the way, Tom, I was going to have one of them on tonight. And I know we always enjoy that. And he, let's just say, backed out, okay? I think he changed his mind.
Me?
Yeah, it wasn't anything you did, Tom. I told him how nice you are to guests.
I am.
I know. We always try to be kind to our guests, but I had this guy all set up, and he hired me, and we were going to do the whole thing. Basically, I've got guy after guy calling me that they have caught their wife cheating. And I mean caught her, okay? They were suspicious. She was acting strange. Some of the stuff, Tom, is really like almost obvious now. There are certain patterns. And I start listening to the story and I tell the guy the end of the story. So, for example, very often the story goes that they got married kind of young, stupid, you know, early 20s. She didn't get the wild stuff out of her system yet. Usually they have a kid right away, or they had a kid when they got married. They already had a kid or something like that. And now they had a second kid, and now the kids are in like preschool or, you know, first grade or whatever. So they've been married like 5 or 6 years, and the guy's been working the whole time, and the wife stayed home. And now she says, honey, I think I want to get a job. And so she gets her real estate license, or she goes to work in some kind of office, some kind of, you know, paralegal or whatever, medical assistant or something. And I finish the sentence for the guy. And don't tell me she fucked the boss. And that's it.
Right.
Women absolutely positively cannot resist the alpha male. And their perception with you as their husband is that you're a loser. Okay? You don't make enough money. You're not smart enough. You didn't finish enough school. You're not tall enough. Your dick's too small. Everything's wrong with you.
And that you accepted them and that you tolerate their shit.
Absolutely. The biggest insult of all.
That's why I say being a nice guy doesn't work.
Well, of course, but the biggest insult of all is that the fact that you're with her in the first place, she thinks you're a loser. She goes, don't you know how stupid and crazy I am? What are you doing with me? You're obviously stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, she needs to be, you know, getting new attention, and it's exciting. And so she goes to work in an office, and there's this dashing guy who runs the place, and he's making a big income. And she, like, you know, gets close to him. She is going to fuck him, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay? So anyway, so these guys are sensing something strange, and they start doing a little FBI. They go through her phone. They look at her emails. They check her mail. They notice she's wearing, you know, sexy underwear, whatever's going on. She's coming home late, you know, and they get some real evidence, and they confront her, and she denies it. How dare you? And can a girl have friends? And why are you asking me that? And you're horrible. And anyway, eventually the guy overcomes and pushes her with evidence. And she says, okay, you know what? I did. Fine. You're right. Okay? But, you know, she plays it like it was only once. It was no big deal, but whatever. But here's the hook. She says to him, it's really your fault. This is girl logic, okay? You weren't sensitive. You didn't understand my emotions. You didn't care about my feelings. You weren't a good husband. You don't make enough money. You're not tall enough. I was depressed in the way you treated me. I needed some adventure. You're not adventurous. And the guy, and this is the important part of the story, starts to take that narrative. So these guys are calling me and saying to me, do you think I should divorce her? And I'm like, yeah, man, she's been unfaithful, absolutely. And they say, yeah, you know, but I feel responsible. She told me it was my fault, and I think she's right. Okay, so just think about this. Your own wife getting screwed by another guy. He's telling me, well, she didn't mean it. It was an accident. I said, yeah, I'm sure she was thinking about you the whole time. She's getting it from some dude. I'm sure she was concentrated on you and your children. And these guys, I mean, there's a different world. Now, I'm not saying there should be violence, okay? And this thing that, you know, you pour acid on the woman's face is certainly not what I'm talking about. And Gary and Dino were just talking in News for Guys, a case that I saw of a guy who just, you know, killed his wife, couldn't take it. And it happens. It happens more than you think. We had a couple of cases here in L.A. that I recall recently where the guy went and killed the wife because she was divorcing him or she had cheated or whatever. I think that in some ways is a very natural reaction. You know, people feel intense anger and violence. And I'm not saying that that's what's supposed to happen. I think that if your wife's a slut and she cheats on you, you should divorce her. And that's a legal process, and it's done nice and peacefully in family court. That's why we have family court. You know, at one time you couldn't divorce a woman under Catholicism, and then you had to kill her. But the bottom line is that it is uncanny to me that we had societies built upon this issue of faithfulness in a woman. And here you have an unfaithful woman. I've had cases where the woman tells the guy, you know, our three kids, two of them aren't yours. And the guy, like, I don't know what, they're not men anymore. He doesn't really react. I would be so upset. I'd be so furious. And these guys are telling me we're going to go to therapy. We're going to try to patch it up. I talked to a guy where the wife had been cheating on him on and off their whole marriage, like 15 or 20 years. And she had had at least 5 or 6 lovers that he knew about. So can you imagine what the real number is?
Oh, I usually say multiply by 2.
I would say. At least. And then they had kids, so he doesn't know for sure if the kids are his. She's a complete spendaholic, shopaholic. So he is working his ass off, paying for this. She's screwing other men in their house, in their bed. Okay? And God, I mean, can you imagine you're the man, you're coming home and screwing your wife, and you don't know that 2 hours ago she was blowing some guy? I mean, that's so disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay? And the kids know the names of the other guys. Because they're around her. They're in the house. It's horrible. And she's like a whore. She's crazy. And he's telling me, you think I should divorce her? And then, Tom, and this is the kicker, and this is the guy, by the way, that wasn't on the show tonight. He hired me. He said, that's it. I can't take it anymore. It's ridiculous. I know she probably did it before. And we filed the case. And I said to him, stay away from her. She's going to try to manipulate you. You know, one blowjob and it's all going to be forgiven. And he said, no, I've made my decision. It's done. It's final. Anyway, I filed everything. I got it all set up. I was going to get him in a great position. He was going to have primary custody of the kids. He was going to leave her with very little resources, and she's going to have to start her life over because she hasn't worked. Anyway, he calls me about a week later, and he says, I need you to put the brakes on the case. I had a talk with her. She's sorry. We're going to go to therapy. We're going to talk to a mediator. We're going to try to talk things over. And I said, dude, this is exactly what we talked about. You told me you had made your decision. Well, that's true, you know, but I thought about it, blah, blah, blah. Basically, she got to him. And it's amazing that the masculine vibe, the masculine energy, the anger, the hatred, the jealousy, it's all gone. It's all erased. The modern man doesn't know any of these things. So instead of being furious that his woman cheated on him, he's blaming himself. And he's saying, oh, yeah, well, I do have a small dick, you know. I wasn't a good husband. I don't make enough. She's right, you know. I guess I deserve to get cheated on. I mean, you were saying this the other day. You said something, how's it go, Tom? You get the partner you deserve. You get the love you deserve, the love you think you deserve. How is that?
Well, you get all of those things are true. I don't know the exact saying you're referring to, but I can tell you that, you know, I think we all get the best we could attract. So in other words, I do believe that men get the hottest chick they could attract with their wallet, their potential, their education,
whatever.
Whatever.
Water meets its own level.
Water
right?
seeks its own level. And then with men, and with women, women get the richest guy that their looks could attract.
Right.
And so, yes, water seeks its own level on both sides. And the thing is, I think with men, if you have low self-esteem, you're going to choose low.
Jeez, Tom.
I also
the
don't
lowest,
believe,
Tom.
But I also, as you know, and I've said this and I mean it, I don't believe that there's such a thing as love. I, you know, this is all just a big game of Wheel of Fortune. You know, we get the hottest chick we can hope to get. And so many guys would dump their wives in a second.
Right, if they hit the lottery.
If they hit the lottery or they had inheritance or came into money.
The thing about making that decision and maybe settling or whatever, you had a caller the other day who was saying something like that women see marriage as the finish line, you know?
Right.
And what you really see with Western women, especially today, is they're not very committed to their marriages. And when I talk to one of these women and I say, you cheat on your husband, that's horrible. They're like, fuck him. He deserved it. You know, like they have really very little conscience about it.
Right.
They don't really see it as a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, didn't you push to get married? And the answer is they did. They carried on. They wanted to be married. The guy did
But they didn't want to be married. They wanted to get married. Yeah. And that's a big distinction.
Yes.
You know, they wanted to be the center of attention. They wanted to send out the save the
date
announcement. Well, that's later, but I'm talking about getting married. You know, they want to send out the wedding invitations. They want to go out and be bridezilla and pick a cake and have their mother and their sisters fussing all over them and their friends who are going to be the bridesmaids. That's what they want.
It's true.
The drudgery of having to be married every day
and doing the laundry
and put your socks in the washing machine, that they don't want to do.
Right, right. So when you total that up, you know, in this situation, what they end up doing is so destructive. It's destructive to the lives of their children and their husband, and they're absolutely conscienceless about it. I mean, conscienceless. They could care less. It means absolutely nothing to them. But you don't have the male reaction. I know that you've told stories of a couple of, I think, your wives or girlfriends that you caught cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't that the last straw? I mean, did you ever consider...
With them?
Yeah.
Always.
That was it, right?
No, I never, ever went back
You didn't
that.
Think, like, oh, we could work it out? Give me a freaking break.
Never did. always, that was it right then and there. And I never, never pressed the rewind button. I always say never.
I understand the desire of these people, especially guys, you know, trying to keep the family together or their kids or whatever. But I think that, you know, I'm not talking flirting, Tom. I'm talking where these chicks are screwing their brains out, you know, on business trips and whatever.
Yeah.
And the coming home and telling the husband, well, it was an accident. You know, I was lonely. You know, I've told you so many times about this, my soldier clients, where the husband went to Afghanistan or whatever, and he came back 6 months or a year later, and the wife had screwed the whole neighborhood. And she's like, well, I was alone. You left me alone.
Right.
Like, you've got to be kidding.
Right.
But the difference, and this is something that we've got to do something as men collectively, is that that's got to be zero tolerance. It's got to be zero tolerance.
Yeah, well, these guys are fools.
Yeah, could you imagine they're filing a divorce and then calling me a few days later and telling me to, you know, cancel the case or whatever?
Right.
It's like, what happened? You found your balls and then you lost them again?
Yeah.
Or she gave you a back rub and everything's okay?
Well, a lot of these guys,
she
really didn't mean to do it.
Really?
She was alone.
She landed on the cock, huh?
I was in Afghanistan. Yeah. What was she supposed to do? You know, I talked to guys who said this to me personally. So I know that's how they think. But that never works out. As far as I know, it never does.
I think that it's one of the things that absolutely mystifies when you look at it culturally, like the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we look at people in Pakistan as prehistoric.
Right.
Because they're pouring acid on a cheating woman's face. But I think that they look at us in the opposite way. And they say, really? So your wife cheats on you and that's okay? You work it out in group therapy? Are you kidding?
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And by the way, you refer to Maury. Some of the last acts on some of the Maury people are the guy finding out the DNA test shows the kids are not his, and he forgives the woman.
Right.
They're in the back, you know.
By the way,
she goes
Maury,
to cry.
My man Maury is always encouraging that.
Yeah.
I
Do
know.
You still love the child? Can you guys work this out? And the guy's like, yes, I think we'll work it out.
Yeah. Of course, we never know if they actually do.
Well, at least they say it in front of the camera.
Right.
But the intriguing thing is that the logic of a child would be, well, you know, if she cheats on you, you never take her back.
Right.
And here these adults have a wife that's cheated. I had the guy just the other day. Exactly. And the wife had been cheating maybe 6 times over 15 years. And that he knew about, and he was committed to staying with her. He was tolerating it. He was dealing with it. He was getting her to swear she wouldn't do it anymore. And I said to him, do you really believe that? I mean, seriously. And he goes, well, I don't know. Maybe. It's so unbelievable. And it goes against, I think, the basic tenets of masculinity. And that's why now you have guys coming from Africa or from Syria, and they're grabbing German women or whatever, in French women in public, and everyone's like, oh, let's light some candles. I mean, after the terrorist attacks in Belgium, right, what are they doing? They're doing a moment of silence. They're lighting candles, right?
Nice.
You don't see guys saying, let's get a posse together and start kicking some ass, you know?
No. No.
That just doesn't exist anymore.
No,
I think we're a bunch of girly men, Tom.
Well, there's no doubt about that. We put up with women's shit, and then we end up paying on top of that. You know, as I always say, yeah, we are in a society in the United States where your wife can call your best friend over to your house, the one you're paying for.
That's right.
You're at work. You work an extra hours, maybe, so you can pay for that
for
house.
For her. For her.
She's bored, sitting there waiting for you to come home. So she calls your best friend and says, come over and fuck me. And so you come home, and you open the front door of your house, and there's this woman being fucked by your best friend.
On the living room couch.
On the living room couch, right in front of your TV or whatever. And then, after you say, that's it, get out, the woman says, I'm going to take you for everything you've got, and she can.
Yep, yep.
That's how the system works.
But who passed these laws, Tom?
Well, attorneys.
Yeah, but they were
Let's
men.
Let's be honest,
men.
Men
attorneys.
Men attorneys. And the law business, and I'm not going to call it a profession in this case, I'm going to call it an industry.
It is an industry.
These guys make a fortune, and so do all of their colleagues. You know, stretching these things out and getting people to fight with their exes and what have you.
If you look at the way the laws are structured, even in terms of domestic violence, which we know by many studies is 50% men and 50% women being violent, all of the laws are made to protect women. And you would think that all the legislators must be women, but they're not. This is something that men have done. Men felt that they were protecting women. It is natural for men to feel protective of women and try to protect women.
Not for me.
Oh, come on. This is an instinct.
Not for me. Not telling you.
You admitted today, even on the radio, I was listening to, this was yesterday's show, come to think of it, that you changed.
I did.
That's your explanation.
Well, obviously
because
I got married and divorced four times, an evolution took place.
I know, but if I had met you when you were in your 20s, you would have been a little different, no?
I would have been. But after what happened over all those years...
Right. In other words, getting screwed over.
Well, and by the way, and here's the thing that people don't understand. I see myself as a feminist because I believe in true equality.
Right, right.
True equality. And that means buy me dinner. pick up the groceries on the way home and don't ask me for half the money. You know, I believe in equality. you drive your own car to dinner, and I'll meet you there for a drink.
It was the woman that plopped down the plastic at the hotel?
She was one of a kind. but I have to say, she was not an American.
Right.
She was a Mexican diplomat.
Yeah, but see, one of the thinkings...
Fantastic.
One of the thinkings is not just that a woman thinks that her pussy has value that the man has to pay. It's the man accepting that, too. On some level, the guy says, well, of course I should pay for the hotel because I'm getting sex.
Guys feel guilty.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, what I said on the show yesterday is that marriage is really based on the principles of prostitution.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
You know, it's just that one is legal and nice and romantic, and the other is illegal and considered distasteful. Think about the idea that a man would pay and then get sex. Like all the people who get offended that, you know, these women get on Tinder and they're well, if you're looking to hook up, you're looking in the wrong place. No, I'm not. I'm at Tinder. That's what you do at Tinder.
Yes, long-term relationship at Tinder.
But it's so tasteful to say Tinder is about hooking up. That is what it is. If not for finding nice Christian men who want to settle down and look at puppies
God-fearing
and sunsets.
Men.
And no, it's not that. It's a hookup app. You're there to hook up.
I think you might be right.
You know, so this is all about what's nice and polite and what isn't nice and polite. It has nothing to do with what's good or bad for people. You know, it's amazing. You can't pay a consenting adult to have sex with you. But if you're in Kentucky, you can sign your 14-year-old daughter off to your friend in the Mormon church and say, go ahead and marry her. We're the parents. We think this is in her best interest.
Right.
I mean, that's nuts.
Well, at least in California, you need a court order, so that's something.
California is one of 50 states. There are states where you can still have sex. Wasn't New Jersey one of those states where you can still have sex with your dog?
Oh,
yes. Yes.
The point is,
that,
Tom.
I'm not making that up.
No, I know. Okay. Of course. I took the Jersey bar.
Okay, so you know that's true.
What I'm saying is that if you look at your circumstances, you're a different man now because you've matured and you've had some hard knocks. You must have been devastated at one time when the girlfriend cheated.
Of course.
But I've admitted that. A very human reaction.
The one that really got me was MTL2.
Right.
Because I helped her.
That's the cameraman one.
Yeah. Helped her get her career.
So you actually helped her get the job that led to the cameraman.
I helped her get three jobs.
Right.
That was the third of three that I got her. Actually, she was working at the third of three, but she'd fucked the guy at the second of the three jobs, and I didn't find out until I got her another job.
All right, so a woman with zero gratitude.
Right.
Okay. Now, wasn't it a reflex at the time that you wanted to vomit or you wanted to strangle her?
I did not. I'm not a violent person, so I did not want to strangle her, but what I wanted to yell and scream and throw things.
There we go.
And I wanted her out of my place.
But did you blame yourself?
Not in the beginning. Now I blame myself.
I don't mean it even that way. I mean, did you blame yourself for her cheating?
Oh, no. It wasn't my fault.
So you went straight to the divorce lawyer.
Yes.
Okay, so these guys who are calling me, who have been cuckolded, are telling me that they're going to give it another go.
Right. No, I know guys do that. I know guys do that. But for me, especially because, you know what, the women who cheat, they're the ones hiring detectives. They're the ones looking at your phone.
They're the most suspicious because they're
doing that stuff. They think you're doing that
stuff.
Of course.
They project it on you. Absolutely.
You know, MTL2, I never fucked around on MTL2, not ever. I was so stupidly, happily married. And literally,
this is when you were mowing the lawn, right?
Mowing the lawn with my shirt off, 100 degrees in Arizona sun, mowing the lawn, fixing the back fence, lighting the charcoals. So we could invite other couples
We need video of domestic time.
Oh, it was, you know, I was so happy at that time, and I had no idea.
You were.
Well, no, I was. But did I know the person I was with well enough to be that happy? No, but I didn't know that at the time. I mean, imagine being with somebody who takes your dog and gives it to the wife of the person you're fucking.
That is bizarre.
You know, get this. She used to be on assignment doing stories in, like, Mexico. And so she'd be there with this cameraman in Mexico. So husband of you know, so he's the husband of this other woman, so and she's always upset that he's always on the road.
Right.
So my wife, in attempting to get some calm into the situation, offers to give her a dog to keep her company while they were on the road together, and also so she wouldn't feel threatened by my wife, who in reality was going to Mexico.
Screwing her husband.
Right, and then the woman has my dog. So while that was going on, I had just arrived in L.A., and I was trying to find an apartment that accepted pets, and I found one.
So you're knocking yourself out to help your wife's dog.
And it was, by the way, it was my dog and her dog. Okay. But here I came to
town. She gave it away.
I wouldn't even give the dog away to a stranger or get the way people usually do. So I find the apartment, and I came back to Phoenix to get the dog. And she said, oh, I told you I was giving the dog away. I told you that.
So is it fair to say she felt no guilt? Is that my point?
Fair to say that it would be my belief that while we're not fighting or, you know, on bad terms today, It would be fair to say that she never felt guilt about that. She felt totally justified in doing what she did. She blames it on immaturity. But, you know, she was not that much younger than me. You know, she was 7 years younger than me.
Did she tell you it was your fault?
She
denied it for a long time, right?
She denied. No, she said it never happened.
Right. She denied it.
So she said that the fact that I kept asking this question indicated how possessive and,
right, of course, controlling yes,
I was.
Right. Naturally.
So but
you're a prick.
Nothing happened, and the fact that you think something happened,
right.
Yeah, it was...
You're
know,
sick.
Yeah, it was that borderline personality disorder type behavior.
Love it.
That people engage in.
Listen, that's not rare. That's thought to be 20% of women.
Mm-hmm. When you add in autism and all the other things people have these days, everyone's got some fucked up
compulsive
element.
Compulsive gambling, compulsive shopping, drugs.
NTSD.
I have to say, give her some Zoloft and forget about it.
Right. Oh, PTSD. I'm sorry.
Oh, PTSD.
NTSD is National Transportation Safety.
Four letters.
Right. What can I say? But
speaking
you know
of
what
autism.
I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. The point is that, you know, that's... we're going to take a break here because we have callers coming in.
Fabulous.
And we need to get to those. It's Adam Sachs. It's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Family law attorney Adam Sachs is here to answer your family law questions about divorce, separation, child custody, child support, vagina money, which are monthly payments for the past use of a vagina, and restraining orders. All of that, all the joys of marriage. And all you have to do is call us, get your free legal advice right now. You call 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is the number. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank at 901-3000-TOM. It's a bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs and you on the phone. You calling in for free legal advice on divorce, separation, all that stuff. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. Flash Friday returns Friday, May 6th at Spearmint Rhinos. Dames and Games Topless Sports Bar and Grill. Dames and Games, as you know, is like Hooters on steroids. Come on down and see the entire crew. A Likas Talent Contest. Take advantage of after-work specials, live sports on a ton of flat screens, and a full soundproof sports bar. Dames and Games will open that day at 11 a.m. They'll be doing the show live from the Dames and Games studio, which is off limits to the public because it's just not set up that way. But we're doing the show from Dames and Games so that we can be there right when the party starts at 6 o'clock. You don't have to wait for my limo to show up or anything. We'll be right there at 6. We'll pop out like popping out of a cake. All right, so it's 6 that day, Friday, May 6th. We kick off the after-work party. We go till 9. It's another boys' night out from your friends at the New Normal. And don't forget, last time we did Dames and Games, we were at their location in Van Nuys. This is downtown L.A. on Washington Boulevard. Get the details by going to damesandgames.net. All right, your calls for Adam Sachs, 901-3000-TOM. Bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. This is Eric in Rancho Cucamonga. Hello.
Doing, Tom. How you doing, Adam?
Hey, Eric. What's up?
Hey, well, I've been married for 9.5 years. I got a daughter that's 9, and I've been thinking about getting a divorce, and then, you know, I heard you guys' show on, I think it was Friday, that other caller that called in, you know, he wasn't sure if it was worth staying in a relationship
right.
or being married, you know, and after that show, I kind of made that choice that I think it's time to call it quits. You know I need to get a lawyer, but... I guess my question is, you know, I would like to keep my daughter with me. You know, right now we're renting a house. We're still together in the house. So what is my best exit strategy to make that happen? Like, I know it's probably not a good idea to just move out right now. I'm not really sure. Because I'm planning to move to Ventura County in the summer. That's, you know, I work out there. So that was what the plan was.
Right.
But now with this, it's kind of like, okay, do I got to hold off until it's final, you know, or what do I need to do? Because, you know, now she's asking me like, well, you know, I don't want her moving with her parents. I don't want my daughter going there. Right. But she's telling me, hey, if you don't want me going there, you need to give me some money, a down payment to get her own place.
Well, I got to tell you, one thing before you consider some of these things is one very alarming thing that you said right at the beginning, which is that you've been married 9.5 years. Now, that's critical. I don't know if you're aware of this, but, you know, 10 years in California and a lot of other states is extremely significant because after a marriage is 10 years long, it's considered legally a long-term marriage, and that can have a tremendous impact on how much support you have to give her and how long it's going to last. It could be lifetime if you're not careful. And I don't know if you noticed this, but for example, when Ben Affleck got divorced from Jennifer Garner, she filed it 10 years in 1 week after they got married because she wanted to ensure that. And judges nowadays have been rounding up. So if you're like 9 years and 10 months, they will round it up to 10 years. So you have got to make a move because it could impact your life. Instead of paying some kind of support to her for 4 or 5 years, you could be paying her for the rest of your life if you pass that milestone. You know, that's no joke. With respect to the actual situation, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, if you're miserable and it's not the right situation in marriage for you, you got to get the hell out. I'm always surprised when people say, you know, oh, I'm going to wait until the kids go to college. I'm going to wait another year. I'm going to wait until the mortgage is paid off. I mean, I don't know how that's possible. I mean, when I'm with someone that I don't like and I don't want to be with, I can't stand another minute. And you're destroying yourself. You're destroying your life and your life force and everything about you is being destroyed and sublimated because you're not living the life you want to live. Now, if you feel this way and you guys at least are having some kind of, you know, relationship of at least friendship or, you know, some kind of diplomacy between the two of you, you need to sit down and say, look, I can't do this. It's not working for me. I don't hate you. You're always going to be the mother of my children and my child and whatever the situation is. But let's talk business here because, as Tom has told us a million times, a marriage is fundamentally a business. It really is. So, you know, I suggest this. I'll take the boat. You take the red car. I'll take the blue car. You can keep your jewelry from your mom, and I'll take this. And, you know, you try to work out some kind of understanding about how you're going to take care of some of the splitting of your things. And the more that you can resolve with her without the intervention of the court, the better. You know, if you have this house, you want to give it up. You're going to get your place. She's going to get her place. Most states, you know, California certainly, favor joint custody. So normally you and her would share the child. If you have reservations about her living with her parents or whatever, maybe, you know, you help her to get her first place or you make some kind of an arrangement where she gets cash from your IRA or something. I mean, there are all kinds of resolutions. But the more you plan it and the more you organize, you know, something that's done in, you know, working with her is going to be better in the end. When you leave it to chance and then she goes berserk and hires a lawyer and spends a lot of time with her feminist friends, you know, that's when she's going to be looking to ruin you.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I guess that's mainly where I was, you know.
But I got to tell you, that 10-year thing is a killer. So please.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've been trying to hold it together just because of my kids for many years.
Your child's 8 years old, you're going to do it for another 10 years?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like my 10 years. Like, if I go past my 10, I feel like that's it.
Well, let me ask you this. And this is an important question. Do you really think it's good for your child? Do you think that she's going to be mentally very healthy if she grows up seeing her father completely miserable? And her mother, too,
no.
I suppose?
No.
You know, a lot of people stay in these really screwed up marriages, and they say, you know, I'm staying for the kids so we can be together for the kids. What bullshit that is. What a lie that is. You know, that's their own fear and their own stupidity. And when you look at your life, you know, if you're happy and you're doing what you got to do and you're content in your life, you're going to be a lot better of a parent towards your daughter, and she's going to understand what healthy relationships are. unfortunately, if you're living with this woman who's absolutely wrong for you and you're making each other miserable, your daughter is going to learn that from you, and she's going to repeat that. You understand, when she's older, she's going to get into a bad marriage herself, and it'll be your fault because you taught her that that's normal.
Right.
So I don't buy it for a minute.
All right, cool. Well, I
share
the advice.
All right. Eric, do you know what you're going to do?
As far as leaving or
yeah, leaving. Are you going to leave?
Yeah, I'm you know, I actually, you know, 2 years ago we separated for like 6 months. We lived separately, and you know, I actually felt like I had freedom. And ever since then,
why did you get back with
yeah, why did you get back?
You know, I don't know. I guess I felt bad for my daughter. You know, it's like, you know, the yearly stories that, you know, it's bad for kids to grow up, you know, without their parents there.
By the way, you do know that half the kids that your kids go to school with have divorced parents.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't, you know, that kind of thinking might have been true, you know, 40 years ago. But I think today kids are used to seeing parents divorced.
Right.
There's also a lot of kids at your kid's school where the parents were never married, or maybe mom doesn't know who the dad is.
Right.
So you get a lot of people. If you're worried about your kids, you get a lot of kids your kids know who do not have two parents.
Well, this thing you're talking about, Tom, you know, where he's done this trial separation and then gotten back together, that is just so destructive. That is so ridiculous.
Yeah, what do the kids think when that happens?
Yeah, the kids are completely confused, you know? And it's like the parents get back together in order to spare them. They tell it to them. Your mom and I are miserable, but we're staying together for you. We got back together for you. Great. Thanks, guys.
Right.
And then, by the way, it's just like that thing. Another year goes by, and they're back where they started, more miserable than ever.
Right.
Wrong is just wrong. You're not going to make wrong into right.
Hang on, Eric. I'm going to try to hook you up. You know, Dean will hook you up here with Adam, and then who knows? Then you figure this thing out. Thank you, Eric, for the call. Appreciate it. It's here we are. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and we are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. In a moment, Adam will tell you how you can get in touch with him. Meantime, if you'd like to be one last caller, you can. 901-3000 Tom is our number. 901-3000 Tom. You can call us right now at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Oh, yeah, the Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. Check me out on Facebook, and you can email me, which I love, and I answer them personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Roderick in Ocean Park, Washington. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Dad. Again. Hello, Adam.
Again,
how are you guys doing?
Hello, Roderick. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, just real quick. I had an incident this past Thursday with my ex-wife.
Okay.
And the kids.
Your ex-wife.
I was talking to her about punishment for my 10-year-old daughter that I have with her. I have a 16 and a 10-year-old daughter with her.
Okay.
And I went there to pick him up after school and was talking to her about the punishment or whatever. And, of course, like all women, money-hungry whores, she got into the whole, you don't pay me enough of child support to call any shots around here. This is my motherfucking house, da-da-da-da-da.
And please don't tell me.
And a shitty apartment in a shitty,
this isn't in front of the kids, right?
What's that?
This isn't in front of the kids, right?
The kids were outside at the truck waiting for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm outside. And I was just, you know, like, hey, you know, there's other avenues to punish a kid. Let's, you know, things are changing around her. We've been divorced all of maybe a year now. And I said, you know, you've got, and this is typical for all women who don't make enough money. They find a next fucking bastard that's gonna pay their bills and do their
sucker,
their, you know, do their,
is the word.
Do their bidding.
Okay.
So she's got a new fiance, And let me go ahead and throw this in. One of her biggest arguments during the damn divorce paperwork and proceedings was she wanted to keep my last name, so her and the kids had the same last name.
Big deal.
Now, we went through this round two times in which I had to make changes to the paperwork, and it cost me $200. It was like $200 per change, or $100 per change. It was just stupid.
Well, it sounds like you did the divorce yourself without a lawyer.
No. Oh, no. Adam, you'll love this. I got the lawyer for me. She refused to get one. She was like, nah, I don't have the money for it, and I trust you. Dumbass broad. So she didn't read the fine print. She saw the last name that was changed in the paperwork, and she got to keep my last name, but she didn't look at the child support. So the child support was half of what she expected. And according to Oregon law, she stuck with that for 3 years. And she is fuming mad. I mean, I've seen bills in her apartment, electric bills, garbage bills that are 2 months past due. You know, an electric bill that's supposed to be $50, $75 a month, it's now $300. She totally can't make it on her own. She can't. She's a lifetime fucking dependent. And so I told her, I said, hey, you know, I'm not here to argue the merits of child support or whatever. You know, the fact is, you signed off on it. You should have read the fine print. Next time, you pay $2,500, get a lawyer, and you have him do all the work. You know, until then, I paid for him. He represents me, not you. And
so what's the problem now? You got into this fight with her?
Well, it's... I guess I'm wondering what my legal recourse is, because...
With respect to what, though?
Well, in respect to her fucking with me. She's poking and prodding starting... You know,
that's what women do, man.
That shit, right? That shit you spoke of a couple of weeks ago, the parental alienation syndrome.
Right.
That's real. It's been weighing on me because all this little shit's been building up. You know, the little jabs, verbal jabs she gives to the kids come and ask me about it. And it's like, you know, I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not. I mean, I try to shield them for what I can because they're my girls. They're my babies. But it's one of those where, like I said, I'm not going to lie to them. Hey, you know, and this instance Thursday, I spoke to her in front of her fiance. Tom, you'll love this. His name is Stoney, and he's a construction worker. Your name is your destiny. Yada yada yada. He's a fucking broke. He's a broke bastard.
Great.
Right.
So good. Let her suffer with him.
Right. It'll
make her appreciate you.
So I don't need her to appreciate me. I'm good, man. Trust me, I'm good. So my kids are asking me all these damn questions about their mom and why she's so bitchy and what's going on. I'm like, babies, it's money. It's just money. That's how I try to leave it. Well, this couple of days ago, she sent me a text about something I'd said to the kids or whatever, but I purposely threw out a bullshit statement just to see if it would be repeated, and it was. And
are you so surprised?
I guess here's my issue. I want to take my kids. I do. But they're in a fantastic school district that I fought for them to get into. And, I mean, I fought tooth and nail for them to get into this.
So,
and I'm being poked and prodded.
I know, but I don't get the feeling like you have a plan here. What are you asking me? What are you trying to accomplish? I mean, if they're in the school district and they're happy, then, you know, you got to leave well enough alone. You just got to stop fighting with her. You shouldn't be engaging with her at all. Especially not in front of the kids, in front of her boyfriend or whatever. No way.
Well, see, here's the thing. This broad, she can't, I'm not shitting you. She jumped off the couch Thursday evening and, like, came at me with gritted teeth, clenched fists.
Why are you even near her that she could come at you?
I was in the apartment helping my girls grab the rest of their shit.
No. You're asking for it, dude.
I'm asking. Okay.
Yeah, you're getting divorced, okay? Don't get involved with her anymore.
We've been divorced for a year as of May 27th.
You're not acting like it, okay? There's no reason in a million years that you're screwing around in the apartment. That's ridiculous, okay? You're divorced now. Leave her alone. Stay away from her. call on the cell phone, send out the kids, end of story. This thing is like crazy what you're doing. You're somehow re-engaging and causing fights and conflict with her every single time you have the kids picking up and dropping off. And then you're telling the kids things that she is, and she's telling them, and that's sick. You have to stop that, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't forget.
I hear you.
It's such a problem, Tom. People get divorced, but they're still engaging in the fights in their marriage.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if she's moved on, she's with a new guy, fuck her. You
Let
know,
go.
Forget about it.
Right.
Don't involve the kids. Jesus.
Once again, how can people get in touch with you?
Yes, thank you. Adam Sachs, you can give me a call, 1-800-340-7320, and you can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. Okay. By the way, if you missed any part of Adam, obviously you can wait till the show replays. You can go to premiumtom.com and press the play button and hear Adam all over again. And there'll be another appearance by Adam coming up, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. It's coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Better believe it.
The revenge porn industry is baba booming. Come on. There are apparently sites charging up to $100 a year for access to other people's private pictures.
Right. They like to see videos and pictures of non-porn stars. So basically your average everyday Joe and Jane. And they like to see that. And by the way, they know going in, paying the $100 a year, giving them access, those items are posted by basically spurned ex-lovers.
Mm-hmm. Right. They tell the story of Rebecca Wells in this particular article, who Googled her name and found out that her ex-boyfriend had posted pictures on various commercial porn sites, including Image Flea, Image Earn, and Pink Meth.
Wait a minute.
Yes, come on.
Oh. I have to check that out.
That's not your kind of meth, though, my friend.
Oh. Yeah.
They're saying now that man-spreading at work is actually good for you. They don't say anything about what happens when you're on the subway. But you want to air out the balls if you can. Because if you're overheating them, you're gonna lose the sperms. But you're down with that anyway.
By the way, that's...
I'm trying to kill yours.
That's fine.
I think you already have.
I don't think it's a real issue.
They say it's good for your back, though, too. Not just your balls.
They actually give you the position in which you're supposed to sit.
Well, speaking of balls, by the way, they include a picture of a guy sitting on one of those bouncy balls that, like, now people do.
One of those medicine ball-looking things.
Right. It's supposed to be good for your back and your spine and all that other shit.
Not even I would show up with the fucking bouncy ball.
I would love that, man.
Not even
you could paint it the colors of the Italian flag.
Yeah. Not even that. I'm going to draw the line.
We could paint it like a big burger, like a big fast food burger.
Oh,
you
well,
sit
wait,
on a burger
wait a
all
minute.
Day.
Now we could be onto something.
Hey, nice comfy bun.
It is the color of Arita's Italian ice, so I might be down.
Mm. What happened with Susan Boyle? She apparently had like a little bit of a meltdown in an airport in the UK, Heathrow, to be specific.
Yeah, I'm not sure if our girl... is he did say she has Asperger's.
She's
okay,
got
cool.
Asperger's.
I thought that, but I was hesitant to cast
by the
that
way,
type
not
of
edible
cloud
Asperger's, just in case you were thinking.
No, there's a different kind of burger, right. And this Asperger, you always got to be careful with this situation because you don't know on what degree or how far into the spectrum our girl is. I guess our girl, and thank God, after she was throwing a tantrum, they were able to pull her out of there, and she didn't do it in a aluminum tube or hurtling 650 miles an hour forward. It happened on the ground.
We're all fortunate for that.
Because you imagine her bouncing her head off the wall,
right.
And this time you're in a Airbus A380.
Nivea has launched a body odor detecting app. It's not one that you're intended to use on other people. You use it on yourself to make sure you don't have body odor.
Right. This is pretty good for people who can't smell because this app sniffs stench levels, and it notifies the user just how much he stinks. I guess our nose is the way that we determine our own body odor, but sometimes we can't smell our own sweat.
No.
And so it's not like you're going to use it and determine other people's gaseous releases.
Often people don't smell their own farts.
Right.
And sometimes they do, and they find them delicious.
That could be an issue.
Finally, a pig alert for you is Alessandra Ambrosio in a bikini.
Oh.
Or actually, just the bottom half of a bikini.
Yeah, because the top is
nothing. Is gone. What happened?
It just went away.
Plenty more news for guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the new normal.
I don't give a fucking dog, fucking yard. I fucking go run and go, you better fucking pick up that shit. You better fucking wait. I'll give you a fucking bag. I don't ever fucking come and do that shit. That's fucking nasty. This other fucking dog fucking keeps doing the same shit. I fucking videotaped it. Who fucking dog is this fucking rat? Fucking dog. Like, I want to run over these motherfucking dogs and let them fucking suffer. I mean, that's just the way I fucking feel. Fucking fuck that. Post the fucking video. Every fucking person that brings the fucking dog and shit. Fucking beautiful. Just fucking come and fucking throwing trash. Fucking moms walking with their fucking kid. You better fucking pick that shit up. Fucking tell them. Videotape the fucking guy with the fucking blower thingy and, you know, fucking dirt inside my fucking car. This motherfucker, I'm gonna fucking talk shit to him. Get their fucking license plate. They're all fucked up. 4 fucking days. Look like a fucking cat or a fucking dog. Fucking, I don't know. I get very fucking angry. Like, it just makes no fucking sense.
Right.
Fuck it.